Like so many guests on my podcast, Passion to Power, Kristen Moss has had an unusual trajectory into the world of entertainment, and specifically the reality television world, also known as Unscripted. She is the founder of the American Reality Television Awards, happening virtually this year, and I'm very excited now to introduce this conversation with Kristen Moss.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists, programming executives, development executives, and A&R. Michelle Zeitlin is excited to share her tips and tools for success through her conversations mostly via Zoom during quarantine. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
My name's Kristen Moss. I am a casting director for reality television commercials and digital marketing. I am also the creator and executive producer of the American Reality Television Awards.
See how nice you did that? So concise. It's a woman who's used to introducing and hosting. Keep it all together. So we're into 2021 out of a crazy 2020 and all hoping for success with a new White House staff, a new president, a new vice president, a lot of hope. We're in the entertainment industry. We've had not only shifts, but seismic shifts in our world. And I would love to know from your standpoint, how have you been affected by this last year and the shifts during the pandemic, COVID-19? And also, have there been any silver linings that have come out of that?
So it has been interesting and it has been devastating for so many. One of the ways that I feel like I have felt affected is seeing my friends and coworkers and others in the industry severely affected, not working, not really knowing where their next paycheck is coming from. As you may or may not know, we're not unionized. We're not covered by any sort of protections at all. So if you're not currently working on a project, you're looking for your next project. So when you don't know where your next project is coming from, it's a really scary time. Personally, I had been working with Facebook doing their digital marketing casting. So we were working on platform with an amazing company called Salt and Lime Media, who is basically works for Facebook working on their casting. And so I had been working from home since the October before the pandemic hit. So nothing really shifted for me personally at that point. But what I saw in the industry and the devastation that I saw, people leaving Los Angeles, leaving New York, going home, you know, it took a toll on me because not only did it affect the industry, but it affected the people and the personalities who make this industry what it is. There are so many of us who came out here or, you know, are working so hard to make unscripted TV, reality TV, what it is. And without those people and personalities, it's not the same. So, you know, to see a lot of people just kind of leaving and moving on and moving into different aspects because they were forced into it was really, really hard to watch.
So you work in the unscripted / reality television world, and you know they also use terms like factual TV or non-scripted TV. These are all terms, everything from shiny floor competition shows to docuseries TV to, you know, a show about catching a big fish. Can you talk about some of the shows you've cast and what is the difference in the casting world when you're working in the unscripted market versus casting actors, for example?
So, well, the funny thing is, after creating the Reality Television Awards, I realized that there really was a big controversy over what encompassed reality TV, nonfiction, unscripted, you know, what's the difference? And our award show really tries to focus on all of it as a whole. And the overarching umbrella is reality television, as long as the people on screen are not handed a pre-written script to work with. So when it comes to the shiny floor game show formats, MasterChef and MasterChef Junior, which I've worked on, that's reality TV, because those contestants, and I will tell you firsthand, show up to a ballroom in the, you know, in the middle of Chicago or whatever city we happen to be in. They bring their dish for judging by our amazing food judges. And then they talk to us and we kind of determine, you know, based on their food scores and based on their personality and their story, if we want to move them on to the next round. So those are unsuspecting, you know, reality hopefuls who are showing up to an open casting call with, you know, the hopes of meeting Gordon Ramsay and winning the title of MasterChef, MasterChef Junior, and the prize money that goes along with it. So therefore game shows and, you know, like Hollywood Game Night and Beach Shazam and all of these fun interactive television series are considered reality TV, as well as the other competition series like The Voice and American Idol, Project Runway. I mean, all of these shows that are taking real people who happen to have specific skills, putting them on television to showcase what they can do, that is reality TV. When it comes to docuseries, like you talked about Catching a Big Fish or Crabs or, you know, Deadliest Catch, and down to other docuseries like The Kardashians or The Real Housewives or The Jersey Shore, some people only see that as reality TV. That is reality TV, and those are people who also showed up to a casting call potentially, or, you know, were picked out of social media because they had a great following or a great personality. And yep, they've actually won best production crew for 6 out of 7 years in the reality television awards. And you can imagine why. Those producers and camera guys and audio, they're on the boats out in the Bering Sea with the fishermen who are actually making all the money and bringing those the crabs in. So
I saw some of the clips on your website for the award show, and that might have been the one where literally the producers were heaving over the side of the boat. And I mean, it was just crazy, the hard water, the crazy way. I can't imagine being on that ship, let alone having to shoot a camera.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah, they sent us a really good clip last year. We actually did a digital version of our award show. Pandemic, you know, because of the pandemic, because everything was shut down, we stuck with a formula that we created a couple of years ago, because out of necessity, we didn't go to a live event in years 5 and 6. So when year 7 came around and we wanted to go back to a live event, all of a sudden we were not able to do that. So we stuck with the same formula we had done for years 5 and 6. And in year 7, we had another digital show that we streamed on our channels. And Deadliest Catch had a really good acceptance speech for their production crew with Sig and Mandy, his daughter. And they showed some of those clips and they're incredible. You can catch it on our YouTube channel. It's amazing.
It's fun because I work on both sides. You know, I work in the scripted world and the unscripted world. And being a talent literary manager and also a producer, I know probably many of the people that you know. And I think we met because of Andy Strouser, right? Who worked on Kate Boss.
Yes.
and I met Andy because of another person I knew in the industry. And then you mentioned Gordon Ramsay, and I know Scott Paskoff, who I think was in development over there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's a small world. Small world after all. And right now I have a couple people that are hosting, which has really become an incredible career all on its own. People who are really good at doing this, because it is not easy to be on the fly without a script as a host.
Well, and you know, a lot of times the hosts do have, you know, it's now especially with the host, they have to have some sort of a script to follow and some sort of guidelines. You know, you have to say the right copy, rules and regulations. You know, they're standing there, they're making sure that the contestants or the teams get the rules right up front. Actually, I have a friend who works on Jeopardy, and they're doing a couple, you know, they're bringing in a couple of different hosts right now to kind of fill the extreme void that we're all feeling with Alex Trebek passing away.
Yes.
And what he did for that many years, it may look simple on television. We may have watched him for years do what he did. And they're really, really hard shoes to fill. He created something incredible and he did it with ease. And, you know, all hosts should look to him for guidance and structure because he did it flawlessly for so many years. So hosting is not easy.
It's funny because I'm kind of like that big burly guy you were talking about. I used to say, I don't watch reality TV because my idea of reality was like the train wreck person who was, you know, connecting as a matchmaker or, you know, the housewife shows, which I have a love-hate relationship with. But I'm a huge fan of Jeopardy. I love Password. I love those game shows that have incredible intellectuals on the show competing. And you have to have a real talent for call-up because, you know, my mom and me, we used to know every song and have competitions on the car. But if someone asked us who wrote that song or who sang that song in 1989 and you had to bring it up, I couldn't tell you. You know, you have to have that recall so fast. And so that is a tremendous talent.
Yeah. And, you know, coming from the casting background, when we're looking for contestants for shows, you know, even on Let's Make a Deal, which I worked on, you know, within the first couple of years of moving to Los Angeles, it takes a special person to get picked by Wayne Brady. You don't just get selected because you showed up in a cool costume. You have to have that personality. You have to be willing to showcase that and willing to be excited and, you know, cheer for the prize and play the game. And, you know, it takes a little bit of emphasis, you know, of your own being and really expressing who you are to the max to show that, you know, you're worthy of being selected for a show like that and to win a prize, which, you know, if it was easy, everyone would do it. That's the age-old the age-old saying, right?
Right. So tell me how you fell into this side of the business.
You know, it's a funny story, and I feel like it was certainly the universe showing me where I belonged, and I'm okay with that. I believe in that. So basically I had come from a hospitality background in New Jersey. In the state of New Jersey, you can serve alcohol at the age of 18. You don't have to be 21 to serve it. So I worked at a local golf course, and really, I mean, I've always been able to talk to people. I've always been very personable. So, you know, and put me on a golf course, serving drinks to, you know, the people that are coming in and out and having golf tournaments and all that. And it was just a natural fit. I really liked that aspect of being able to hang out while you're at work. So I continued in hospitality as I went to college. And then, but I did take one video editing course in high school, which really sparked my interest. And I thought it was so much fun. And at the time, if YouTube had existed, I might've had a channel or might've been creating content on my own, but there was nowhere to put that out. So I didn't really pursue that at the time. But when you mentioned, I did go on Semester at Sea, which is it's a study abroad program on a ship that goes around the world. Wow. And what I noticed was there were television sets in everyone's room. And they were able to broadcast what they wanted to broadcast to all the students and crew through those television sets on a certain channel. So I approached the head of, you know, the communications department, and I asked them, can we put some content out on that channel? I mean, we're not getting news, you know, unless you go online. We're not really understanding who everybody is. There were 800 plus students on the ship. We wanted to meet some of them. So I ended up developing CTV and putting out a news program, an entertainment program, meet the crew, meet the other passengers. So we had quite a few different shows, and it was almost reality because these were real people on the ship who wanted to, you know, bring a little bit of energy to each, to, you know, the community on the ship. After that, though, I went back to hospitality. I ended up moving to Arizona, where I had some friends and family, and I stayed in hospitality. And while I was working at a hotel there, I answered a Craigslist ad to be a casting recruiter and didn't know what that was or what it would entail. But basically the ad said, are you willing to talk to people and try to get them on TV shows? Oh, well, I could talk to anyone. So yeah, sure. Let me give it a chance. And that Craigslist ad changed my life. I met a woman named Lena who became honestly the key to this industry for me. Wow. Who no longer is in this industry actually anymore, but she just did my maternity photos, funny or not, she's now a photographer. But she opened my eyes to a whole new world, and I couldn't be more grateful to her for bringing me on. And within 6 months of getting that first recruiter job and then getting passed along additional work from people in LA who heard that there was, you know, this girl out in Scottsdale who's, you know, able to find great talent, I moved to Los Angeles, and I've now been here about 10 years. And I worked my way up from being a casting recruiter to an associate to then I was a casting producer. And now I've been a casting director for the past 7 years. And I just opened my own casting company, K Moss Casting, in January of 2020.
You talk about the different areas that you've worked in unscripted reality casting. And I wonder if there is a definite sort of hierarchy. You talked about being a producer, assistant. What is that trajectory for you in the unscripted market?
So, you know, there's a lot of different avenues. There are a lot of different ways to go. You could end up working at a network. You could be the head of talent for NBC Universal and, you know, remain there for the majority of your career. Or you could be an independent. You could have your own company, take on your own projects, hire your own staff, and you could take on multiple projects if you want and really work your way around different networks, different projects. You could do competition, docu, development, create your own shows. So that's kind of the path that I'm heading down. Working at a network would be amazing. And with a baby on the way, maybe we'll see. Maybe I want a little more stability than always creating my own thing. I think it would be incredible to be at a network or at a production company that's constantly, you know, you have a team of people that's all working towards the same goals and all looking for talent at the same time. And, you know, you get to celebrate together when you finally get that show sold. So I always say the door's open, but right now I'm going in my own independent direction.
What would you impart to young aspiring artists and entertainment pros? I know you just gave us a lot of advice about saying yes and being open. Is there anything that you've taken away in the context of this business and unscripted that sort of that sliver of gold that maybe only you know?
Well, there's two things, and I'm going to say them first so I don't lose my train of thought. One is reach out to someone if you feel inspired by them, or you want to talk to them, or you want to get some advice from them. I should be taking this advice myself. Sometimes I'm intimidated to reach out to others, but reach out to them. I can't even tell you the number of times that I've had conversations with people who have asked me for advice, and I'm more than happy to take those calls. So I don't know why I don't do that more often within my own personal, development, but reach out to those people, because more often than not, like you just said, Michelle, these people are willing to get on. They are willing to talk to you. They are willing to express themselves and offer you advice. I just had a call this morning with a woman who has some great talent that she knows is viable for a TV show. What does she do with them next? And I gave her all the advice I possibly could. I mean, you know, I have no reason to steer her in any other direction than up. And the other thing is, don't wait for someone else to give you the okay or give you the thumbs up or say, yeah, this sounds like it's gonna work, or sign that contract on the dotted line. If you feel like you have something that's worthy, you yourself are a personality that needs to be out there,
or, you know, your place of work or your friend group or your business, and you feel like it deserves a show or whatever it is, start filming. Put it out there. There are so many ways to share yourself with others. And if you can grab an audience on your own, then you by far are ahead of the game when it comes to development. So often the development executives are looking for talent that's just bubbling to the surface. So get yourself out there. Don't wait for anybody else to say go.
What's the difference between casting for a production company versus casting independently versus casting for a network?
Casting for a production company, well, there's a couple different facets when it comes to casting. There are casting companies. So a lot of times a network will contract with a casting company who's able to find them the cast that they need. So, you know, there's incredible casting companies I've worked for who brought me to where I am right now. So I guess when it comes to casting a show that's been greenlit, I don't know if anymore that casting, the full-on casting, is happening at the network level. I feel like they always either farm it out. They want to bring on that small team of casting people just for a short period of time. They're not going to have the ability to bring on full-time casting staff at an annual rate because they just may not have that many projects to work on. So if a network has a new show coming out, they will work with a casting company or work with the production company to hire on the freelancers, which is what we all are, to cast that show. So I don't know if that answers your question, but you know, you're either working for the production company itself that has sold the show off to the network, or you're working with a casting company who was hired to cast the show for the network and production company.
And are these generally like flat fees, or do you work hourly? I mean, how do they do the pay scale? Is it all of the above?
Pay scale is weekly. So, you know, in, even when I started, when I was a recruiter, I was given $500 a week and I was told to work 5 days a week recruiting. When then you move up and you can have your different salaries, but it's pretty much always weekly, and you know, the rates go up as the titles bump, but you're on a weekly rate regardless. So if somebody asks you what your rate is, that's always the question. What's your rate? You tell them what your weekly rate is. For 18 to 24 year olds, I remember there was a time, and I think I was 18 or 19 years old, and I wanted to start playing guitar and I thought I was too young. At 37 years old, I wish I had started then. You have the entire world ahead of you. Do not look at anybody else and compare yourself. It's so important that you follow your heart. You do what you feel like is right, what you want to do. Explore. What I remember, I think my mom told me, you can always come back. If you move away or, you know, you go off and get a job, nothing ever is going to remain the same. In whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, nothing will ever remain the same. So you might as well give it a shot while you have some, you know, the energy and the gusto to do so. And then for 49 to 60.
Let's just keep it simple and say 40 to 60. It's officially, I think, 42 to 59. I don't know how they break it down, but that's the official analytic.
Okay. For those 40s to 60s, you know, demographic, the other thing I really try to emphasize at all times and try to live by, you can literally change your life anytime you want. I've met 50 somethings who lost 200 pounds and started running Spartan races, who decided to go to law school and graduated and became lawyers. You can decide anything at any time. It's never too late. You're still walking on this earth. You might as well make the best of it. You can travel the world. You can start skydiving. You can, you know, fix that, you know, pain in your leg. You know, you can always change your trajectory. So you never have to feel like it's over or there's nothing more for me. Every single aspect of your life is shaped by you. So go out there and try and just follow your dreams.
Perfect. Anything else you'd like to add?
As far as anything else I'd like to add, I mean, the Reality TV Awards has been a passion project of mine. I started it as an associate in casting. I just looked up every production company and just started calling them and told them that the awards existed and it's time to submit your shows. We created it from a spark. We created it from an idea and it's real. And you can do that too. You can put yourself into the position to create anything you want. And believe me, I have wanted to quit more times than I can tell you. It's exhausting. It is not, the awards is not my full-time job. I barely make a salary off of it. It is to give back to the industry that's given me so much. It's changed my life. I wouldn't be in California if it wasn't for this industry. I wouldn't have met my husband. I might not be having a baby on the way if it weren't for this industry. So I feel like it's my chance to give back to all that it's given me. So you can do the same. If you find a passion for what you believe in, just take one step forward and give it a shot. The structure has remained the same, but we want to continue developing the awards so that we can give back to the industry in as many ways as possible. And that's why the Academy has become more of our focus lately, giving the industry a way to lean on each other and move towards a united front, hopefully under a unionization opportunity, or at least something like that, that offers us the ability to have longevity in this field. And, you know, as other things come up, like Twitch is becoming huge. I'd love to work on some branded content with some streaming networks that exist and that are continuing to grow their, you know, like all of what's going on within those worlds. I want to be a part of that on the forefront because you never know which way it's going to pivot. And I want to stick with it as it does.
Sounds amazing. I would imagine you're going to need a couple extra hands once baby's coming too, right?
Yeah. My husband is extremely helpful. He is he's the one who's putting all of the things that, you know, he's the one who's like basically coming up with all the ideas of like, this is what needs to happen next. And this is what needs to happen next. You know, shockingly, you know, as much as I'm good at that in work, I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Great idea. Let's get this going now. So we have everything set. Yeah, I think I will need a couple extra hands. I have some really great people I've worked with and I know I can lean on them and I know I can, you know, they can help me in so many ways. And I know it's going to be a unique journey, I think.
I think you're going to open up a whole new cottage industry because I actually am appearing on a show. It's some new alliance with Amazon. And one of the women, I met her in Clubhouse and we started talking about children's books and she's in parenting. And I think these days when you become interested, you know, have a kid, you start becoming interested in new things, you know, suddenly new products, new healthcare, new initiatives, you know, new rules about television and what you want your kid to watch. So I think, you know, our lives change so drastically as we become mothers too. And then once the kids are grown up, which is where I'm at, you know, you have to again, reinvent yourself, you know, because you're not needed in the same way. So that also changes some of the interest that you have in television, I would imagine.
It's so true. I can't wait to see what she teaches me because that's what they say. You know, your child kind of shows a mirror on you and teaches you who you are.
In sharing her trajectory, Kristen Moss tells a story about a certain friend who got to be involved with a TV show she was working on called The Biggest Loser. This is a personal triumph, not only a professional triumph, and I think you'll enjoy this analogy.
The Biggest Loser doesn't have to be your end goal. If you're waiting for someone to give you an opportunity to be on a TV show, to take that first step and start losing weight and changing your life, then you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're ready to make this change, and to me, it sounds like you are, you called me, just go for a walk. Start somewhere. Start, you know, watching what you eat, whatever it is, you know what to do. Just you start. Don't wait for somebody else to tell you go or that you're worthy. What was it? 9 months after that phone call, I saw him at their wedding. He came up to me. He had lost, I think, 60 or 70 pounds. And he told me I changed his life. And I said, no, I didn't. You changed your life. And right now he is, he's working as a life coach. He's really popular. He has all of these amazing platforms that he's experiencing and like able to help others. But, you know, don't wait for somebody else to tell you to go, because you're the one who's going to change your own life.
That's an awesome story.
Thanks.
That's an awesome story. I think I had a friend who worked on Biggest Loser. Do you know Kim Lyons? She was, I think, one of the trainers.
Yeah, I know. I think we're friends on Facebook, actually.
Yeah. She's very big in the fitness industry. I got to work with her on a couple promotions and commercials. Kristen, you're a joy. Do you have a name? Do you have a name picked out for the little girl?
We do. We're waiting till we meet her to make it official. But
all right,
yeah,
then we won't spoil it. Yeah, we'll let her hear it first. And I'm really, really glad you reached out. This is an awesome connect. And I'll tell you about this show. It has just opened so many great relationships. And the people that listen, yesterday I got a fan email from someone in marketing who wanted to pivot from architectural marketing into the entertainment industry and asked advice. We are getting such cool feedback. And it's been a totally organic build. So I really appreciate the reach, and I appreciate your voice. And I really appreciate that you want to unionize, because I think, you know, we need to all pull together and support for fluidity and for creating real, you know, protections, whatever side of the industry you're in, you know?
I agree. I mean, we deserve it. We really do. No, and absolutely. Thank you for having this podcast. Honestly, if there were one way to describe my journey, it's from passion to power. I mean, really, it started with a passion, and it always does. So, and if it doesn't start with a passion, then you should find your passion, because right, that's going to give you the most satisfaction.
Yeah. Absolutely awesome having you, Kristen. Signing off. Thank you so
much.
Lovely to meet your husband. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.